Ho, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ennis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and down.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Be like the Arsenal. Be ambitious. Come on.
Hello, and welcome to ABW Live. How the devil are we? I don't believe this. We haven't even started, and we've got a donation. Bloody hell. People are catching me by surprise. This is not fair. Michael Hahnemann piles in the £10 donation, and he says, Wakanda forever. Love that celebration from Auba. Emery 1, Ben Arfa 0. Well, Michael, you're not wrong. It's a good night all round, isn't it? How are we all? Welcome to ABW Live. It's the Wren game. Or, as we're going to call them from now on, Divey Cheeky Bastards game. But there you go. Quick look in the chat box. Carl, the London guy's there, and he says, fuck Ellis. First in the box was MJL. Then there was Thomas McClements, formerly Noza, Adil Shaikh, and 235100, Ron Ree, Shafiq One, formerly Noza, J Rob's there. Oh, Robin Wilkes is there. Stan the Man 450, Pete Coulson, Sai Anvesh, Daryl Kane. Hello, everyone. Rhys 1237. Oh, geez, there's a few of you there, isn't there? Daniel Mage is there. Oh, Marco Bricks UK. Hello. How are we all? It's good to see you all, and it's nice on a night like this. Big thank you to Michael Hahnemann. Catching me by surprise. I was not ready. I really wasn't. Brexit isn't happening for the Arsenal. Nice to see. Tonight, guys, I'm joined by, it's the one and only, it's the man himself, fuck Ellis. Hello, Ellis Mel. Say hello, Ellis.
Hello, John. Hello, Ellis. mate, I've missed this in a while. I'm looking forward to coming on, especially since Chris is on as well, because it's been a fucking long time since I did one of these with Chris. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun.
I know the feeling. You've spoiled the surprise for everyone now, haven't you?
I mean, there's other person who I don't know who he is coming.
Well done. Not saved at all. You can't be. So let's move on to my next guest. Yeah, that's right. It's the pirate. It's Carpenter. Say hello, Chris.
Jason Gwilyd Gwyneth Tappy Tappy Davis. Hello, sir. How the devil are you?
Fluent.
I'm good, mate. I'm good. Good. It's nice to be partying with you again. It's been too long.
It has. I fresh out the shower. Hello, ladies. And hello to Ellis as well. Fuck Ellis, obviously. And yes, good to be back. And it feels like I haven't spoken to you in probably, well, probably as long as it should have been, really. You do my head in, but you know.
And to be fair, okay, I formerly know as a straight in there with Carpenter out.
Brilliant. Okay. I love that it's still a thing.
Kurt Walters, Wakanda forever. I love that. Okay. And who else is there? Somebody just turn around. Oh, and 235100. Wren lost. Has anyone told Chris?
plenty to say, don't you worry. We've had another donation as well. Unique 79.
Yeah, the magnificent Unique 79 has piled in with a donation. Thank you, Unique. You're a rock star, mate. And he says, from Batman to Black Panther. You know, you just don't get any better than these guys. Yeah, this chat box is amazing.
Evon Okafor as well. Did you see that one?
No, I missed that. Where's that?
Evon Okafor says, Emery showing Ben Arfa who's daddy. £2 donation. Thank you, Evon.
Oh, Evon, you're a rock star, Evon. Every bloody show. Thank you ever so much, Evon. Yeah, guys, thank you ever so much. You rock. Right, straight into it then, guys, okay? Chris, lineups. Another strong lineup from us. Back-to-back lineups. And that must be the first time in a while he's played the same team two games running. What do you think?
Yeah, other than the obvious, the one change we had to make, the enforced Mustafi in, Socrates out. Other than, yeah, but you're right. I mean, other than that, lineup was pretty much the same style. It's kind of a 3-5-1-2, isn't it? Or 3-4-1-2, rather. That would be too many players otherwise. But yeah, it's nice to see Elber and Lacazette as a two. I think you could get away with it probably against lesser size. Ironically, the two probably biggest games of our season, we played it and we've won both. So you can't knock it. And it's weird that we've added an extra striker to the formation and kept two clean sheets. I think the world is going to end tomorrow. I'm not sure that's possible. It's nice to see Skodran doing his best to give him one, but I couldn't resist. But no, I think in all fairness, the lineup was probably what we expected. And the other thing I liked about it was the three substitutes that came on all contributed something as well, which is all you can ask from a strongest lineup possible. So yeah, pretty much what we expected. And as for Ren, they set up much as I expected as well. And to be fair, I think they probably should have taken a couple of the chances they had. So we'll sure come on to that. But they tried to counter us with a similar formation with width, and it nearly worked, but thankfully it didn't.
Yeah, thankfully, diving, cheating bastards. But never mind. Sean Moish, is it? I'm not sure to pronounce this, Sean. I do apologize. Is it Moish? Moish? I do apologize, Sean. But he's donated $5. Thank you so much, Sean. And he says, up the Arsenal and up the Ellis.
Sean, love you, Sean. Big up, man.
The first time Ellis.
Ignore these two.
I tell you. And talking of Ellis, straight to you, El. The game started off quite quickly. Ren pressed us really early. From the off, they were at it, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. And I'll admit, I'm a bit nervous because, like Chris mentioned, that was probably the strongest team we could put out other than having a checking goal. But you can see why he's been put in. I think Steve mentioned it in our chat that he's obviously got previous with Ren, which is probably why he's played him. But we've gone through this period before where we swap our goalkeepers out. And I was a bit worried with Cech's ability on the ball when they're being pressed and our players passing it back to him. I think of the two goalkeepers we have, I'm much more confident with Leno on the ball. And then obviously there's the centre-back that can make a few mistakes there. He's been replaced or replaced Socrates in Mustafi. But I thought we coped well with the initial press from Ren. Like you say, you can see that was their mindset from the off. They tried to press us, tried to force us some mistakes and just worry us. And I thought we weathered that storm quite well. We broke out and then the tide quickly turned in our favour and it looked like we were really going to sort of take them to the sword and that we did.
Yeah. We've had an update from Sean. It's Moosh. So there you go. Thank you very much. And then Daryl Kane piles in with a donation and Daryl says, thank you ABW for this platform. Come on, you gooners. Daryl, it's our pleasure. We get to deal with people like yourself, and it's fantastic. And then Akib Alias piles in. Right, are you lot winding me up? Are you lot winding me up? Don't do it.
Don't read Akib out Akib's comment. Don't do it.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve it. He's just trying to wind me and Carl up. He knows what he's doing.
Look, he gets a start in this damn thing. Akib Alias piles in the £2 donation, and he says, Game of Thrones is overrated. Akib, you were wrong about Jack. You're wrong with Game of Thrones. Leave it there. And then Jonas Segdnan Berg piles in with, was Ren's manager Neymar Jr. by any chance? And but he's piled in with some Norwegian kroner. Thank you ever so much, Jonas. You're a rock star. Then Sir Tile is piling in with a donation. Oh, Jesus, wet. This is going badly. And Satile says, oh, no, stop it, a lot of you. Great team spirit, feel like Ren were naive. And Satile, I absolutely agree. I do apologize, listeners on other platforms, because then there's another bloody donation. And it's Jackosaurus. And he says, Game of Thrones is shit. Game of Thrones is the shit, you know nothing. That's meant at Akib and Jackosaurus, you are correct.
No, he's right the first time.
Nailed on the head there, Jackosaurus. Nailed on the head.
He was right the first time, it is shit. I agree.
Get out. Go on, football. Let's stop talking about wrong opinions and go on to football.
Formerly knows that is correct. I can't handle this. Stop donating, you gits, okay? Don't do it. Right, Chris. As Ellis alluded to, you know, before we knew it, bang, we go 1-0 up. Fantastic interplay from Ainsley Maitland-Niles and Ramsey with a two-footer assist there. And Aubameyang makes no mistake, does he?
No, it's the sort of chance you want to fall his way. Well, you say that, and then the one later on we'll come to. But yeah, it's the sort of chance you want to fall the team's way. Perfect start as well. I mean, it's one of those that I've seen the missed by Arsenal players and other teams in the past. It is one of those you have to concentrate for, almost watch it onto the foot. But it's nicely created, and as I say, it was the perfect kind of start because it was one of those games that if we'd have started sort of slowly, casually, and they'd have found their way into the game, we would have struggled. So, yeah, it's a perfect way to get off the mark, and that is that's the Aubameyang you want, the sort of six to 12 yard predator, and ironically tappy in at the back stick. So, yeah, good finish and good start.
All right, these guys are beginning to wind me up here. The Muslim RC Racer piles in a donation. Doesn't leave a comment, but thank you very much, mate. You're a rock star. Thomas McClements then piles in with another donation, and he says, "Tappy, tappy, like them fuckers tapping the floor." And you are correct, Thomas. I tell you what, it did my head in. And I like the fact he put in 328 to annoy Danny. That is superb. Cheers, Gov. Thank you, guys. You're superb. Stop it. Right, okay. Jesus, I can't keep up with this. I'm done. I'm going home. Stuff it. Ellis, your view on the goal, I thought, you know, the build-up, the link-up play was superb, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think, again, going to like harking back to the team we've put out there, that is what those forwards are capable of, having Lacazette, Aubameyang, Ozil and Ramsey on the pitch together. You're gonna have play like that. They're all got quality. They can find a pass. You've got two great finishes. Again, like Chris says, we'll go on about Aubameyang's finish a bit later. But two great finishes in Lacazette and Aubameyang most of the time. You've got players like Aaron Ramsey. We all know how good he is getting into the box and getting into those positions. And Ozil can just play the passes. And it's just to delay the ball on there from Ramsey, which is, it went through the defender's legs, and Aubameyang's going to score those all day long. Obviously, he's had easy chances that he's missed, but you back him 9 times out of 10 to put that in the goal, and he did. And then I thought it was quite... I think was it Ainsley Maitland-Niles who had the ball, and you thought he's probably going to cross it in here. He doesn't. He finds Rambo, and Rambo just finds a great pass, and you can't miss from there. It was just a good build-up play, and it put us right on the front foot, and it put us in the great position. Again, you're sat there, and you know you've got to go out and score early, so you've got to do it. But you don't always do it. And to go in that early, I know we went in early in the first leg, but it was just the perfect setup. And the momentum continued from there on, really.
It was really cool for me, man, wasn't it? You know, the way he selected that ball, he didn't panic. I just love the guy. I think he's fabulous. Benoit Messier then piles in with a donation and he says, "I didn't know that the corn singer was such a great Arsenal pundit." Great.
Jonathan Davis, yes, good shout, Benoit, like it. I've been called worse, to be fair. I'll take that.
Okay. Jonathan Davis is with 5.5 for Wales, rugby. Daniel Mage then knocks in with a donation. Oh, Jesus wept. I can't keep up here, guys. Okay, behave yourselves. And he says, "Cheers, Jason. Ramsey is staying. Brexit is cancelled." I wish, mate. I really wish. Daniel, you're far too kind, pal. Thank you very much. Chris, then we see a fantastic break from Kolasinac, Ozil, Rambo, Amen, and Auba. We get a corner. Then we have a great counter-attack from Kolasinac and Aubameyang, which is really well defended by Glenn. You know, we were playing some nice stuff after that goal, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. So from the off, really, for the opening goal and the second that followed, we took the game to them, which is good because obviously with the home leg, you needed the crowd behind us. We needed that sort of the crowd were behind them from the off, but you kind of need the team to perform as well. There's nothing worse than the crowd being really up for it and then the game sort of going against you, as we remember back in the day from that United semi-final those years back, if you remember that. There's nothing worse than killing an atmosphere. So yeah, I thought the team sort of fed off the atmosphere. Push forward, play some really nice attacking stuff. There was a few stray passes here and there, and it was a game sort of littered with errors at times as well. But the key things for us is we looked a threat every time we broke, and I didn't think Ren particularly dealt with us when we were in behind. I'm sure we'll come on to Kolasinac later on, but particularly down that side, they didn't seem to have an answer for that Which is strange because it seems to be our main form of attacking at the moment. But yeah, I think the interchanging, the pass and move, it's the strongest part of our game, has been for, you know, pre-Emery and current Emery. It's always been that speed and transition in attack and forcing teams back, particularly at home. And our home record this year, I don't think there's many teams better than us in Europe at home this season. So good to see it continuing. And yeah, I think once we got the second as well, I think we made the game pretty much safe. At that point,
agreed. There's some fantastic one-touch stuff, wasn't it? You know, it was just a joy to watch. Jamie Fitzgrade, aka Jamie Fitzgerald, has just piled in the donation, and he says, "Nice to have Chris back. Emery and boys, rock stars. Thank you ever so much, Jamie. You are a rock star, mate, and you know it.
Cheers,
you know
Jamie.
You're a rock star. Thank you, buddy. And talking of that AMN goal, Ellis. Okay, the same three players involved again. Rambo to Aubameyang in the box. Great cross. AMN. Your class in action, this is very clever. Knew he was offside, walked away. Aubameyang, there's a hint of offside there. He probably is, but I don't really give a fuck. Okay, but Aubameyang crosses the ball, and AMN, you know, brilliant following up, makes no mistake with the header. Really, we were smashing it at that point, weren't we?
Yeah, I think you're being slightly biased by saying Aubameyang is only just offside. I think he was a bit offside in that second goal. But who cares? I mean, the way that Ren were rolling around on the floor and leaving their foot in, it's quite nice to get a bit of a dodgy cheating going our way for a change, just to sort of rub salt into their wounds there. But I thought it was good. Again, like you said, Kolasinac, he's out of both him and Aubameyang. They're both offside, but Kolasinac is the clear one offside, and he just completely leaves it blank. Aubameyang picks up. And he does really well to keep that ball in, I think. We know how good his pace is, but Aubameyang, I think his touch can be left to be desired sometimes. But he does really well just whip that in. And as you might know, it's just what you want from your wing-backs. Both wing-backs in that play there are both involved in the game. You've got Kolasinac, who obviously sort of plays the ball in and then is played back in, but doesn't take the ball to let Aubameyang pick it up. And then Ainsley Maitland-Niles coming in for the cross from Aubameyang, and he just drills the header straight down to the floor. So those great headers that people just don't save. Sometimes we try and sort of place it. It doesn't work. But if you drill it down, it bounces in, and it was unsavable from that position, really. And it was just good to see Ainsley Maitland-Niles get a goal. Because I think, especially against United, the last game he's played, and he hasn't always looked great when he's got his chances, but he's starting to pick up some form. And I thought, against United, he started off a bit slowly, and I know he's young, he's come through the ranks, and it's good to see someone like him, again, away, he's done the same, and to get some confidence in him, and that goal will do him a world of good. And I thought, defensively as well today, Ainsley Maitland-Niles was quality. I know it's only Ren, but he looked good against United as well, and I just think this is, for a young lad, come through the academy, trying to break into the team, I think this is the perfect thing, a little boost from a goal and a good performance, it just adds up, and we're going to need him, because we ain't got Hector, and I think as a wing-back, he can really sort of staple his position in this team, in that position anyway.
Yeah, to be fair, he carried on that second half form from the United game, and he was magnificent today. Him and Kolasinac, as I thought, were outstanding. Mm-hmm. Chris, Ren then get a foothold in the game. They start to come into it, okay? And we, you know, alongside some really good play from them, because let's not be churlish about this, okay? They did play some good stuff, Fredo, but you started to see the diving, and there was a Lacazette foul on Grenier, and Grenier went down. He hardly touched him, and he went down screaming like a little bitch, didn't he?
Yeah, the something to sort of understand as well in this is that this is not uncommon of Ren. They are a little bit divey in terms of Liga. Obviously, Liga is quite a physical league. Now, it's not to say that other teams don't do it, because other teams do. But the thing with Ren, they've got quite a lot of dynamic, tricky players, skillful players, speedy players, sort of Saar, Ben Arfa, we know, Ben Sabiani at fullback, sort of getting forward, who knew when he came on. They've got quick, intricate players, and they do tend to invite tackles, shall we say. They played Khan at the weekend and basically got a player sent off with two over-enthusiastic fools, shall we say. And obviously they got Socrates harshly done by in the first leg, although there could be an argument either way on that one. Yeah, it's not ideal. Ironically, I actually thought that they were the makings of their own downfall with that, because I thought it took them off their game plan. It was no coincidence when they started to to exaggerate falls and they started to look for calls. I think what started it off was that there was a couple of strong challenges from us that, you know, there was a couple that probably could have been given as fouls and they didn't seem to like it. They didn't seem to like the fact that we were mixing it. And they put a few back and the referee obviously gave us the fouls. I think that's what got their goat a bit. And then from then it was pretty much lots of simulation, you know, lots of over exaggerations. And, you know, it's the modern game. We've all seen it. People say, oh, VAR will change it. I'm not convinced it will, because unfortunately, whatever gets a team that little edge to get through a tie, they will use. That's just the way of the game and the dark arts, if you will. So we've got to be good. We've got to be better at learning to deal with it. And I thought tonight we did. That said, I did think that, I don't know whether we may touch it later on, we could easily have had two red cards tonight. I thought Lacazette, whilst it was only a foul, based upon the fact he was on a yellow, another referee could easily have given that, and Iwobi should have walked. I've got no doubt about that at all. That kick was...
We'll come to that later.
So, I think you've got to play to what you've got, and I certainly don't, you know, condone their antics, but they have got previous in terms of their own league for this, so we shouldn't have been that surprised.
Well, I do agree with you with regards to them being the creators of their own downfall, because they were starting to play some nice stuff, but my next note, Aubameyang overhead kick wide, Mesut and Amen involved in the build-up play, and Stuart Robson, sort of the cheeky twat, said he should have done better. Stuart Robson, mate, we saw you as a player. You were fucking awful.
It's a good job he's not bitter, isn't it?
Exactly. Just a touch, isn't it? The commentary was nearly as bad as the diving tonight. Yeah. But then my very next note is Ren diving like a tramp on chips. You know, it was getting beyond a joke. And it was really sort of spoiling the game.
I think the worst thing is when Mesut Ozil does his usual, I'm not really going to jump for the header, I'll just stick my body there. And the player went down like he'd fucking stamped in his face. It's like, yeah. It's Mesut Ozil. You've got to look at yourself when you're rolling around acting in that much pain. Well, Mesut Ozil, literally the football equivalent of a wet lettuce, has touched you.
Correct. Ellis, then we see a Mustafi challenge on Grenier set up a really good counter-attack. Unfortunately, Laka, he just misplaces the ball to Kolasinac. You know, we were breaking every chance, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. And I was starting to get slightly worried about the chances that we were having and weren't quite creating. I think it was a bit of that against United in the previous game, where the sort of the final ball wasn't quite good enough, but you could see that we were really in those good positions where the ball was better. We'd be on goal for a chance at least, maybe not a goal, but at least a chance. And there was a couple of them and we just seemed to keep going for it. But more often than not, we just couldn't find that good enough final ball. And you sit there and you think at 2-0 up in the balance, the tie's 3-3. But if they get that goal, you've then got to score another one. And then it's going to extra time. And it's just a bit too nervy. And you just sat there thinking, come on, we can get another goal. And you could see that one was coming, but the longer it sort of went on that it didn't, the more nervous I personally got. And I think you could probably feel it a bit in the ground as well, the sort of nerves and the sort of groans when we had those chances, or not quite chances, but those chances to capitalise on a count and we didn't quite sort of do it for a poor touch here or a bad pass there.
Looks like Tavira gotten out, Jace. Yeah, that's... It's a bonus.
It's a shame. Oh, who beat them?
Sparta Prague.
Oh, nice. That'd be a nice away trip.
Mm. Yeah.
Prague's all right. Cheap beer.
Yep. And cheap. Yeah, let's move on.
behave. Chris, then we see another break from us. Mesut Ozil and Lacazette involved. It comes to Ramsey. Ramsey shoots straight at the keeper. He's shit, isn't he?
Yeah, I don't know what the point is. I don't know what all the fuss is about. Absolute dog turd. No, I again, I thought he played very well tonight. He's he took a bit of a walloping a few times, didn't he? A couple of challenges that not so much, they weren't like dirty fouls, but just got kicked in the wrong places. I think he'll be a bit sore tomorrow morning. But no, that particular chance, you know, unfortunate. I thought his general link up play tonight was really good though, and that role, it's ironic, isn't it, that the role that I always thought he'd be brilliant at, he's finally sort of finding his feet in that role just in time to go. But yeah, him and Jack have worked quite well as a partnership, and I thought he did play very well tonight. And that chance missed aside, I don't think you can criticise him too much for that. It's one of those things.
That partnership played Chelsea, best team in the league, off the park in the FA Cup final. I don't know why you haven't gone with four. It's a bit of a shame, to be honest, but never mind. Yeah. Ellis, that's the kind of end of the first half. My main notes on the first half are, I thought AMN and Kolasinac were absolutely fantastic. Talk with them, please.
Yeah, they both were. And like I said, they're heavily involved in the second goal, but they were heavily involved in a lot of our good attacks. And not just offensively, defensive as well. There's parts in the first half and the second half towards the end of the game where both of them are getting there, winning the ball back, and not just winning the ball back, but also starting off counters. And it's just something that I think, one, especially Kolasinac, he always seemed to strike me as someone who wasn't that good going back. He always looked good going forward. He was always involved in the goals, especially when he first signed for us, and I thought we had a decent player there. But he always seemed to let himself down defensively. But I don't think, especially over the last two games, that's been the case. He's been putting his body on the line, sliding in, blocking balls, and he's just solid. He's solid, isn't he? He's a big lad, throws his body around, he gets in there. He's not your typical sort of weedy, fast, speedy left wing back or right back or whatever. He's got a bit of something about him. He's a bit stronger, and he's not afraid to sort of throw that weight about. And I thought it was excellent today. And again, first of all, AMN, again, different sort of type of player, someone who hasn't really cemented himself in a position of yet, because he has been quite versatile. He's played a lot of positions in his Arsenal career, as young as it has been. But I think he is really starting to get a name for himself in this right wing back position, because he's got all the sort of the ability to go forward. He's got a couple of skills in his lock. He's got pace, but he's equally got that pace recovery as well. And he just keeps on with it. He just runs back, he'll block it, and he's not afraid. And that's a good thing. Again, he's a little bit younger than Kolasinac, probably one of the youngest players on the pitch, I would have thought, today. But he's not afraid to try stuff. And I think that's the one thing that one player sort of start to lose when they're young, is when they sort of start to question themselves a bit. And he's not at that point yet. What he's doing is paying off, and he's doing well. And as long as he keeps his momentum going, I think we've got a good player on our hands, and we're going to need it in these sort of eight or so games in the Premier League, and however far we get in this competition, we're going to need a player like him to be on it. And I thought both of them, like, easily, they are names to consider for man of the match, because they just played so well today.
You carpeted the shit out of that. Well, yeah.
You're welcome.
The thing about AMN is I think he plays with ambition, and I love players who play with ambition. Combined with that, he's too cool for school. The boy is irrepressible, and I've got a lot of admiration for him. And considering the stick he and Obi got a few weeks ago, which was an absolute embarrassment, it's great to see him show this form. Right, guys, it's that time of day. Yes, you know what's coming. Now, don't be divey and screamy like Rennie, yeah? Don't be fall over like Andre. Don't be a twat from Ren. Or Rene, you know, isn't that how it's pronounced, Chris? Rene?
Ren. You're right the first time.
Ask Mike from the Gooners on that preview pod we did. His French pronunciation is impeccable. You've got to listen back to it just for that.
Okay, boys, you're spoiling the role now. Stop it.
Rene, if you want to be...
Rene.
Yeah.
Right, thank you, Christopher. Right, don't be like Stad Rene. Don't fall over at the first hurdle. Don't spoil it for yourselves. Don't be an embarrassment to your club, to your family, to your nation. Start tapping that like button. I've got 324 of you watching right now, okay? And I've only got 110 likes. That's despicable. Only one in three of you? Come on, get to it. Tappy, tappy. I want 150 in 10 minutes, please. Let's go. Come on.
Tappy, tappy. Tappy.
Stop fucking about. Your parents, if they could see you now, okay, they'd be wearing a fucking paper bag over their heads because it's just not right. You're just letting yourselves down. You're letting the club down. You're letting your family down. And it's embarrassing. So come on, let's go. Right, on to the second half. Sorry, I love doing that now. I can never keep it going, but I love doing it. Second half, and Chris, it opens up with a bit of a shock for us. Niang hits the post. Started off, Grenier, really smart, catches Mustafi turning back to play back to the keeper, nips around, steals it, and sets up Niang. It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, they did start the second half well, to be fair to them, Ren. I was quite surprised they didn't score, if I'm completely honest. I said to one of my mates before the game tonight, I said, we'll need four, because I did think that they would score, just because I don't... It's not so much I don't have faith in us to keep a clean sheet, but against sides like this that have got players like Niang, who he's never going to be a world superstar, but he's the sort of player that if you give him half a yard, he will come up with something quite decent from time to time. And that was a case in point. As you say, the deflection, I think, probably helped check. I actually thought he got fingertips to it. I don't know whether the replay sort of suggested one angle it did and another angle it didn't. But yeah, I think it was important we didn't concede, particularly at that part of the game, obviously overall full stop. But yeah, if that had gone in, I think it would have made a really different second half. And to be fair, I actually thought what Cech had to do tonight, including one straight to his knackers, which I noticed the commentary team said he took a shot to the face. Yeah, he took that in the nuts, trust me. I thought he was quietly good tonight in terms of his positioning to receive the ball and the saves he had to make. He stood up well, so fair play to him.
Yeah, to be fair, Cech, he's a solid citizen, isn't he? And, you know, he did well tonight. El, we have a set piece. Free kick from Xhaka. Mustafi puts it across. Great reaction from Lacazette. Unfortunately, heads over. And then we get a break. Rambo round the corner on a break to Aubameyang. Unfortunately, Aubameyang couldn't really connect with the cross. It was just a bit too difficult for him. We were really starting to tear back at them then, weren't we?
Yeah, like Chris said, Rene started late. It started quick. And for a couple of mistakes at the back, they could have may have had a goal. Unfortunately, they didn't. And then I think that's when the team started to sense that, hang on a bit, they haven't scored. We can really put them to the sword now. We'll go for it. And we had a couple of good chances, and very similar to the sort of the second half, they were sort of half chances. They weren't quite there, couldn't quite connect for them. The balls just weren't quite good enough. But we were definitely knocking on the door, and I felt like the Rennes sort of defenders couldn't quite hold fast for a bit longer. I thought we're definitely going to get a goal, and if I'm honest, for my nerves, I thought we needed a goal, because I'm never comfortable about us keeping a clean sheet, even against someone like a team like Ren. I know they've put three against us in the previous leg, but realistically, we should be a bit more confident to keep a clean sheet. But I wasn't, so I was confident that we were going to get a goal, and that made me a bit more comfortable with the way things were going.
Yeah. Right. Joe Madeira. Okay. Ahmed Tahir. Who else is it? Somebody else doing that in there. Stan the Man 450. Stop with your nonsense now. We won't have any of that crap in there. You know what you're doing. We will not have that in that chat box, you cheeky buggers. Not from that scatter snipe. No, thank you. Again, next note. Ren, a diving twat. Embarrassment to football. It was getting ridiculous, wasn't it, Chris? It was just, every challenge, they were just falling to the ground. It was getting to the point where you just thought, what's the point? What's the point?
I suppose we sort of covered it earlier on in what they were doing. It did seem to get worse. It was almost like... you're going to hate this reference, but Alice will like it. It's kind of like what happens to me when I go 2-0 down on FIFA. I just get pissed off and just start launching myself into tackles and throwing every opponent out my way, because I just because I just get pissed off. And even though I know it's my fault that I've lost and it's my fault that I'm shit at the game, I decide that everyone else needs to feel this and I need to make everyone else feel the way I feel.
That is bang on.
It's so true, isn't it? You know, you just lose your shit, as I did several times last night. So it was a bit like that for Ren. I think they just got to the point where they're just thinking nothing's going our way. I have to say that in the interest of balance, which I know is not always our forte, but I will say, I think we did get the benefit of the doubt on a lot of the calls tonight. But that said, I think they got more than enough in the first leg. So over the two legs, it kind of balanced itself out. But yeah, I mean, I do think that the overall, you know, we got the right call probably on two of the definitely one of the offsides, arguably two. One of theirs was, you know, borderline, although obviously he did miss anyway. But yeah, I mean, the falling around and stuff, it was almost like they knew they couldn't break us down. So it was a case of, you know, can we try and earn a foul? Can we try and earn a free kick? Or can we get a player sent off? So yeah, as I said earlier, it's the dark arts. Luckily, we rose above it. One thing I would say is, whoever we play next, we need to be streetwise, because that will happen all the way through to whatever round we get to. So got to be aware of it.
It's one of those, isn't it? I mean, look, I thought the ref did quite well under extreme circumstances. Everybody was, you know, we were trying it on, they were trying it on, and it's very difficult in those circumstances. And I don't think he fell for a lot of the play acting, which was great to see. Abhishek Mand Vikar says, I'm at carpentering it. I like that a lot. I'm coming back to you on this, Ellis. Kolasinac, a fantastic challenge in the box on Niang. It was great to see. They were, you know, they were celebrating the challenge. They, you know, cutting off that scoring opportunity. Really good to see from us today. You know, we you know, as much as they had their part of the game, they were on top in certain parts of the game, we defended really well, didn't we?
Yeah, definitely. I think they, like Chris said, fair play to them. They created some chances. They've hit the post or the woodwork twice. And other than a couple of good tackles from our defenders, they probably would have scored a goal or definitely been in. And again, a couple of offside calls that could have gone their way, like they did with ours, and they could have been in with a goal. But I just thought the way the guys defend, especially that chance you just mentioned with Kolasinac, I think Niang probably, if I was being critical, if that was an Arsenal player there, I'd probably like him to get rid of the ball a bit quicker, maybe put the ball in a bit quicker. But he gave Kolasinac that chance and he pounced on it. It was a great tackle. You always get a bit sort of like worried when you see a player go down the box, but it was perfectly timed and he won the ball. And like you say, celebrate. It's something we see Socrates do quite a lot, and obviously we're missing him today, and to see them guys, sort of him and Nacho, sort of celebrating it like it was a goal was good. And just, it's the sort of things you think, that's the camaraderie that they build, the teamwork, just celebrating going in and winning the defensive ball. And it's just good, because you just feel good factor, and I love it, and I think we just need to build on this and keep going.
Yeah, it was great to see. Starting man for 50, cut its head off. Okay, just cut its head off. That's all I'm going to say. Nobody's going to get that unless in the chat box. Tough, it's a live show. 143 likes. Why aren't we up to 150 yet? Tappy, tappy. What's going on? Come on, quick. Let's go. Chris, then you say, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name. I have no idea, so I do apologise to him. Vengepini or something like that?
Bentabiani,
thank you.
I think what you just said then is what I had with chips on Saturday night. The Deliveroo special, isn't it?
I was looking at the team sheet to spell his name and I forgot. So I'm left here with not much, okay? No. He was offside anyway, but it's just one of those we just think, you know, we're getting down to the wire, aren't we?
Yeah, there was a few, wasn't there? There was the one, I think Mustafi sort of played the ball into the danger area when he was trying to clear it. I think there was a couple. I think Monreal stepped up too high at one point when they got him behind. Like you say, it was almost that they were just too, too rapid to get him behind. They were just that little bit too far in front of the play, and we got lucky with the offsides. That said, the ball never hit the net on any of the occasions, so I suppose even if they were onside, you know, they still missed. But yeah, against, I think the main thing we have to keep in mind, especially when you look at this game as a whole, is better sides. And I do say that with as much respect as I can. Better sides will punish us there. And you can't get away with the two misses Aubameyang had tonight have got to go in, and the three, arguably four chances they created, if you class the post strike as a chance, we've got to be better than that. And we've got to. The only thing that worries me when we play this three at the back is that two of the centre halves are always perfectly in line. There's always one that's just slightly ahead or slightly behind. We've got to work on that. That said, Socrates to come back in probably strengthens that. So it's something to work on. And if we persist with this system, we've got plenty of time between now and the quarters to get it right. So warning signs, but got away with it.
It's a strong team built to allow that midfield to play, isn't it?
And
it's very difficult. You know, it's great against United. Tonight it worked very well. Unfortunately, the game got cut up by all the diving and what have you. But if you get it right, it can work very well. And it's not like playing three at the back earlier on in the season, where more defensively minded, or players who don't get ahead of the ball. If you don't get players ahead of the ball, it's not as effective. So, you know, it's one of those things that Emery's going to have to look at. Ellis, then we see Mkhitaryan and Iwobi come on for Ozil and Lacazette. Were you surprised by that?
Personally, no. I did put in one of our WhatsApp chats, I might have been with my other friends, not the ABW one, that I thought either Aubameyang or Lacazette needed to come off, and Ozil definitely needed to, because I thought the midfield disappeared for a point, and I think Mesut Ozil for me was the main culprit there. So we needed a bit more injection of pace. Like the way the game was going, it was sort of we were absorbing some of the pressure and trying to counter attack. And I don't think Mesut Ozil really suits that. I think he tries to slow it down a bit too much and look for the passes. We need someone a bit more zip and a bit more sort of pace about them. And I thought Iwobi and Mkhitaryan would have worked quite well there. And as for Lacazette and Aubameyang, I see Lacazette getting a bit more and more wound up by the sort of niggly little fouls from the Rennes players, so I could see him going. And then as with Aubameyang, other than Lacazette, he's not really great with hold up ball. He's good on the counter, he's good with pace, and he's good a good finisher most of the time, but it's just his hold up play is not great, so we either needed to, one of those had to give. So I wasn't too surprised by the actual substitutions. And then, as we'll probably go on to next, they both combined to work really well to score the goal. And I thought they were bang on the substitutions from Emery tonight.
Yeah, they certainly had an effect, didn't they, Chris? Within a minute of the substitutions happening, you see it will be shooting wide after some great work from Xhaka and Rambo, some really intricate play in the box. He should have buried that, shouldn't he?
Yeah, first touch, wasn't it? That's the thing that got him, I think, because it's one of those you want it to fall to a player who's been on for 5 or 10 minutes, snatched it a little bit. But I thought he was good when he came on. I thought he offered us that little bit of extra threat down that side again. I do think he's been really harshly treated this season. I think he's been really, really quality. But yeah, like you say, on another night that hits the net, and it's a glorious first touch. But probably just came to him a bit too soon. Speaking of glorious first touches as well, I'd highly recommend anyone who's watching this in delay, just Google the name Simon Kjær. It is the greatest own goal to cost your team in the last minute of extra time for Sevilla you will ever see. It is brilliant. It's so funny. He just falls over his own feet and puts the ball over his line. It's fantastic. Sorry, I digress.
then we get the goal that decides it. Fantastic work from Mkhitaryan. Drags defenders, going across the park. Good baller to Kolasinac. And Kolasinac, as you say, that ball across the face of the goal. And Aubameyang, bingo. And with quite a decent celebration as well.
Yeah, certainly. You can see on that sort of that left side there is a pile of players. There's so much space to run into. And Mkhitaryan had Iwobi as well out there, as well as Kolasinac. I think he picked the right ball, went out a bit further to Kolasinac, gives him more space to sort of stretch his legs and run into. And he just fizzes the ball straight in, and Aubameyang can't miss from there. And then you're just sort of like the nervy 2-0 lead. It's wiped out, you're 3-0 up, you feel a bit more relaxed. And I loved Aubameyang's celebration. I've even got my own mask down here. I haven't really. But yeah, I loved it. I don't know why he got booked. Like, we're sort of having an argument about that in one of my other WhatsApp chats. I think it's a bit harsh, really. All he's done is walked on and put a mask. I'm not sure what the actual rules or regulations are regarding that booking, but I thought he's just having a bit of fun. He's not really holding up time any more than a really mad celebration would if someone just running around and going mental. The only other thing I can think of is, like, what they're mentioning in our chat was about sponsorship issues, but I think that's a bit fucking picky, really, to book someone for that. He scored a goal that's basically settled the tie. Just let him do what he wants. Not like he took his top off or anything.
If I was him, I'd have gone full Davis. I'd have whipped my cock out and just Windy Millered around the ground, just with a mask on. Just to, you know.
I think he might have got a booking for that, possibly. Oh,
I don't know. It's all fair in love and war. But
as long as you don't take your shirt off, it's fine.
Yeah, you can take your shorts off, no problem. It was a bit petty, that, wasn't it? I wonder, Jace, have you not got your Coke box mask that you could put on? That's tickled him. That's tickled him. he's on mute.
Much prefers Pepsi.
he's on mute. He's that tickled by it. Oh, he's back.
Sorry, I had to cough. I do apologise. I did that once to the Timberland bag, yeah, and it went down quite well. I've never seen anybody booked for wearing a mask before. I mean, who was the boy at Newcastle, the Argentinian lad?
Facundo Sava. Yeah.
No.
He was the first.
Gutierrez.
Oh, Gutierrez. Yeah, sorry. Sava was Fulham, wasn't it? Yeah, Facundo Sava. Yeah. Yeah, Gutierrez had a Spider-Man mask, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. And cause I've never seen anybody booked for that before. So I was a bit perplexed by that.
Oba's done it before as well. He did it at Dortmund because he's known as Batman.
He's done Batman, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he did it at Dortmund. I think it's the first time I've seen him. Is it something to do with a character or something? Is it something to do with one of those awful Marvel films or something like that? I don't know.
How can you hate Game of Thrones and hate Marvel?
Because I'm not.
Get
seven,
out.
I'm not 7 years
too
old.
Too hipster. No, honestly, everyone loves them. They're good TV.
No.
They're good films.
No.
Now,
have you seen Pornhub? I'll send you a link later on.
Chris, you're embarrassing yourself. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Chris. Everybody loves a bit of
I don't know what Pornhub is.
Thanks for showing you. If not, I'll get John to message you. No, I don't know why it's a booking. It's not like it's inciting the crowd, is it? It's not like, you know, I suppose the only argument is, has he gone to the crowd to get the package? That sounds a bit dodgy. I don't really. It's all a bit petty, wasn't it, really?
It really was, isn't it? Big shout out to Daryl Kane back in there to annoy Danny with a $1.99 donation. Thank you, Daryl. And he said, when in doubt, pull it out. That applies for pizzas
and plugs.
Beer in the freezer.
And plugs for Danny. Or just taking them out and leaving the plug on, yeah.
Yeah, leave the switch on. Leave your noise, isn't it? Right, to the both of you now, I'm gonna start with you, Chris. Aubameyang then. Oh, as you know, he's got two goals for us. Great performance tonight. But then it will be lays a ball on for him, he misses. Then Ramsey puts it on a plate for him and he misses again. Oh, it was painful to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's weird actually, because ironically, they're the sort of chances that you probably back anyone to tuck away, and certainly I think Laka would have probably put those away. It's weird because the goals he scored, he gets in brilliant positions, and his goal record speaks for itself this season. He's got more than I thought he might, and it's quite ironic that if you look at that slack-jawed knobhead up the road, he's made a career off of goals like that. And to be fair, so Sergio Aguero. I mean, the players like that have made careers out of being in the right place at the right time. I think Aguero arguably scored a goal like that, didn't he, against us? Yeah. So, I think the thing is with Alba is that's why he's probably just that slight tier below what you'd call the absolute world beaters, you know, because throughout his career, he has been one of those sort of strikers, even at Dortmund, that he, you know, he would score a couple of really good chances, but he would also miss several. It's Andy Cole-Litis almost, but yeah, I mean, you can't grumble at the end of the day. I think Daryl's just put in the chat there, 22 for the season, can't complain, bang on, really. And if he scores two, we win 3-0 every week and he misses six, I'm fine with that, to be fair. So, yeah.
Can't argue with it, can you?
No.
Standard man 450 has just put in the box, Chris. In response to your criticism.
I saw that.
Marvel and Game of Thrones. Stan Man for 50 says, but Chris likes WWE.
Not as much now, Stan. I'll be honest with you, mate. I'm genuinely. Because now I'm like an adult, I can't stay up and watch the pay per view. So
I sit there and watch muscly men get sweaty and hug each other.
What's wrong with that?
And you don't like Game of Thrones or superheroes?
No. No. I do like the Alien franchise. If you want to geek out, I'll geek out of that.
But, all right, I'll give you that.
Yeah, but other than that.
You and Raj geek out on that a lot, don't you?
Oh, you've reminded me, actually. I need to message Raj about a new trailer I saw drop today, so thank you for reminding me of that.
No problem.
Anyway.
I love a good romance. Ellis, then we see Torreira replacing Rambo, see the game out. And as soon as that kind of happens, all of a sudden... It didn't change the game at all. It didn't, but obviously Torreira's coming on. He's cold. And Ben Arthur runs. He runs past two or three players into the box. Passes to Unua. Is that Unua, Chris? Is that the guy's name?
Unu.
Sorry. Thankfully, Unu's offside. I actually said Ben Arthur passes through three players into the box. Passes to some geezer offside. They smelt extra time, didn't they?
I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to get your Ramsey agenda on here by suggesting that Ramsey came in off, changed the game, and that we needed Ramsey to stay on.
I know your game.
I don't
need to do anything, okay? The notes speak for themselves, okay?
Because they're your notes and your agenda.
Can you confirm or deny, Jace? I've noticed Dan Ramsey has a new tattoo on the inside of his bicep. Does that actually say "I am property of Jason"?
No, it says "I love Jason Davis."
Ah, you, it's something to do with you.
Hashtag Del Piero Wonderland, hosted by Jason Davis.
I nearly opened up tonight with an Aaron Ramsey Wonderland.
I've got to say, It did change when he came on, but that's going to be the case because you've taken off an attacking player like Aaron Ramsey and you've put on Torreira, and we all know what Torreira's strengths and weaknesses are by now. We've watched him for the rest of the season, and his strengths are winning the ball, making tackles, but they're not making good passes, starting attacking moves off. He wins the ball, he lays it off to someone who's a bit more better with the ball at their feet. And you can see that, but I can see what the thinking is there. We're under Kosh. We had two gilt-edged chances from Aubameyang and we didn't put them away. And I think it was just time to stick or twist and we stuck and thought, we'll just sit back now and we'll hold it. We'll take Ramsey off, we'll give him a rest because he's been playing out of skin for the last two games and we'll bring on Torreira, who's had a bit of a rest, and just protect this lead. And that's what happened. It was a bit nervy, but at the end of the day, we didn't lose, we didn't concede a goal and we go through in the tie. So it's the right decision in my books.
Yeah, I've got to be honest with you. I don't think you can fault any of Emery's substitutions today. I thought he did the right things at the right time. Chris, then we get Anu again offside. A great ball from Niang. I think, did he hit the post on this? Or I can't remember. But then you get Mustafi blocking from Niang in the box. Whoa, it was roller coaster, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. As I said, earlier on, I didn't expect us to keep a clean sheet. It just had the whiff of them getting a goal. Even literally into the last few minutes when we were down in the corner, I thought, yeah, we've got to be really careful here. To be fair to Mustafi, he did make one very, very good block. I thought Koscielny was exceptional all night tonight. I think his performance went quite under the radar. His positioning was really good. I watched that documentary actually on his recovery earlier on. I finally caught up with it. It's only released in December, 3 months behind. But what that guy went through to be playing at the level he's playing that again at his age is fantastic. Really is. I don't think any of us
spoke about it last Friday, didn't we? And we had a chat, and I did not think he'd come back with the level of performance that he's shown in the last few weeks.
He's arguably been better, I think, since he's come back. It's really. If you haven't seen the documentary, I think if you just Google Koscielny injury or something on YouTube, it says it's a half an hour video, and it has Darren Burgess actually comes across really well in it, the Aussie chap, and the other, the medical guy whose name escapes me, and they show his rehab that he's been sending them essentially WhatsApp videos, and that guy worked his absolute ass off to be back to where he was, and obviously had to sit out the World Cup. And they said that during the procedure that sorted out his Achilles, he said that in theory, if the healing goes well and if it all settles down, he could actually get a little bit more movement in it than he had before, because they've repaired so much of the damage around it with the surgery. And it's so far, touch wood, touch everything, he seems more robust, because he's taken a few kick-ins since he's come back. You know, he hasn't just sort of wandered through games. He's putting himself in where it hurts, and he's missed a couple of games, you know, with sort of, you know, the odd knock here and there. But his positioning and his leadership is quietly very good. And I thought he marshalled that defence really well tonight. And just to sort of bring it back to your original point, yeah, I didn't rest easy until those 5 minutes were up, because I still would have backed us. I actually thought we'd win 3-1 tonight. I thought we would go through on through extra time or potentially penalties. I didn't want it to get that stage. But yeah, I thought we managed the game pretty well at 3-0. But they always had that threat. And I would never put my house on us keeping a clean sheet with 10 minutes to go.
Tell me about it. I totally agree with that. A quick shout out to, I think it's, if I'm pronouncing this incorrectly, I do apologise. Hovhannes Gambrian. He says, I usually listen to the podcast. I just came to Tappy Tappy. Top man. Unlike Daga, you boys are great. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Then I'm going to come to you first, Ellis, but opinions from both of you on this. Then we see the incident with Iwobi and Traore. Traore is clearly holding him back. It's very frustrating. They're running out, you know, they're going through every dirty trick in the book at this point. And Iwobi clearly kicks out. Not spotted by the line, not spotted by the referee. Iwobi's a very lucky boy.
He is. He's a very lucky boy. And like Chris says, the way he alluded to the FIFA analogy, it's bang on. And it's sort of work the other way of Iwobi. I know he's not been on the pitch for the full 90 minutes, but he sat there on the sidelines, seeing all the shit Ren are getting away with, the little divey foul, the little dives, the little niggly fouls, and he's been stopped there. But it was stupid there. I've got to be honest with you. And he was lucky that no one saw it. It's not a bad kick out by all means, but it's a kick out nonetheless, and that is punishable by a red card if he gets sinned by that. Sinned doing that. So it's frustrating. Although I like to see the players have a bit more about them and like get in and get stuck in, they just need to be a bit more clever. That's all. And I don't think Webby's very clever then. He's lucky that he didn't get in.
Yeah. Chris, your view?
Bella's nailed it, to be fair. Just, yeah, it's one of those that I've done it myself. I'm sure you've done it in your youth, Jason. You know, you just get that irritant. Somebody says or does something or clips your Achilles or something, and it's just the most annoying thing in the world. And it's so easy to say it sat in the comfort of your own home, saying, you know, you got to be professional, you can't react. But we've seen it 100 times, you know, all the way from the Cantona-esque jumping into the crowd to the casual kick.
At least he did it properly, though. He did it properly. If you're do it in style.
You're going to do it. I think that the bit I like the best was Iwobi sort of mugging off Traore afterwards and ended up getting Traore booked because he sort of intimated that Traore had lent a head towards him, which he clearly didn't. He had him in his pocket, didn't he, at that. So, yeah, it was a bit of a culmination of the night, really. And, you know, Iwobi's people got to remember he is still quite a young lad to a degree, or certainly young in terms of experience. So yeah, he got away with that. I don't know, can that be looked at again retrospectively? I suppose if the referee doesn't mention it. I think
I'm not sure how it works in the UEFA.
If the referee saw it, I think the rules are the same. I think if the referee sees it, then they can't.
There's that stupid rule that if he's seen it and deemed it not a foul, then there isn't any retrospective act. But if he's not seen it, then they can act on it, which is fucking ridiculous.
I'm not sure that's exclusive to the FA, though. This is the thing now.
I'm pretty sure it's across the continent. I think I asked this question the other day when I can't remember what it was, something to do with Arsenal. I think it might have been the kick out in the Spurs game. And I can't remember. I asked one of the guys in the podcast, and they said it was across most of the leagues. But
John will know. He has his head in the rule book a lot of the time. John will be the man to ask for that.
But defending referees forever.
But I imagine if he was penalised, that would be violent conduct, which would be a 2-game ban, wouldn't it? So it wouldn't be
ideal.
Or three, yeah, it wouldn't be ideal. So hopefully he gets away with that.
I don't think it will get reviewed personally, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, if the result was different, it might, but...
Yeah. Mm. Unique 79 miss puts in the box here, in the chat box here. What about a Bamyang sneaky kick when he jumped up for the header? Now, I'm not sure if that was, you see the more athletic people, basketball players, etc. They kick out to get extra height.
He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, but he did it well, didn't he? He did it well.
It was sly, but
that's
he knew
what I'm
exactly
to
what he was doing.
About Iwobi. Like, Iwobi's wasn't passed very well. You could see what he's doing.
Yeah,
with Aubameyang, he almost wound up. Look at that on the replay, and you'd be like Jason just said, you're just using it to get a bit of extra height. You can use that excuse. He did it well. He hit it well. That's what he'd like. I'm not condoning violence and kicking out on people, but if you're going to do it like Aubameyang did.
And
cover
you,
it up easily.
And you saw the studs, didn't you? In
yeah, they put the spray on, the ribs. Magic spray.
If you just use them to push off slightly, there isn't half as much divot in the rib cage as that. To use a rugby analogy for you, Jace, it's probably the equivalent of just sticking your nails in the back of somebody in a ruck, I suppose. It's kind of similar to that. But it was, yeah, he's a little bit lucky, I think, because he knew what he was doing, I think, but...
I thought Andre absolutely deserved it. I thought he'd been a scummy little shitbag all night. And
that was quite early in the game, though.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
okay, guys, I'm only using one eye, okay?
Dark arts, I'm all for it. We've been too good for a while. We need more shithousery. It's you know,
hell yeah.
It's knowing when to do it. That's the key, isn't it? And if you get away with it, then nobody minds, do they?
No, absolutely. Then we see, it'll be 5 minutes extra time. We had 4 minutes extra time in the first half, 5 minutes in the second half, and he can pretty much put that down to Davey diving about and just being general cheaty shitbag bastards. It's really annoying, but we see a check makes it's a routine save for him from Saar. Saar hadn't featured all night. I thought the best of their bunch was Niang. I thought he looked really, really good. But that was the game. Very frustrating, but job done, professional. And, you know, it was enjoyable to see us grind it out. I didn't ever think that we wouldn't see it out. But what were your final thoughts on it? Chris, then please pass on to Ellis. But before you do, Chris, Thomas from Norway, you behave. Please don't put my name in the same sentence as that prick's. Thomas, stop it. Christopher?
Short and sweet. I thought we did exactly what we needed to do. We were professional, other than the incidents we've just mentioned. Probably should have been more emphatic. I think overall, you can't really ask for much more. I like the fact that, in a way, I almost like the fact we've had to come back from behind twice in both the Barté and Rang games because it shows we've got a bit about us. We will be one of the teams that people don't want to draw tomorrow. And we'll come on to that in a second. And yeah, thoroughly professional. Hopefully, touch wood, no injuries is always a good thing. And overall, sort of slightly tipping my Arsenal hat to the side a little bit. It's a good result all round. Arsenal were through, and I'm very pleased with that. And Ren showed that they were able to mix it with a high level side. If you look at the two ties overall, they were quite entertaining games. So pretty happy overall. A few things to work on, but I think you could probably say that about any game. So I'm pretty happy with it. To be fair, what do you reckon, Ellis?
I think I like to always think back to what I'd take before the game, like what I'd deem acceptable or be happy with. And I think if someone had come to me and said Arsenal are going to win 3-0 in the second leg, I'd be like buzzing, well up for that. And the way it transpired, the fact Rem being sort of the dirty little niggly cheeks they were to score two goals from questionable offside positions, well, one and then maybe the one not so much, but others would deem it offside, just makes it even a bit more sweeter, really, just to piss them off a bit. And I sometimes, and not a lot, I'll say, I do feel guilty for the sort of underdogs who play quite well against us, but we still manage to beat them. And I would have probably considered Ren as one of the underdogs, but the way they sort of conducted themselves, I don't really care. Fuck them. I'm glad we beat them. I'm glad we beat them with an offside goal as well. And like you say, job done. That's what we need to do. We managed to keep a clean sheet and we got enough goals to go through in the tie, and we did it without the silly away goal rule that I hate.
To be fair, I thought their fans were fantastic. You know, the noise they made throughout that game was all credit to the fans. They were brilliant. But the players are just an embarrassment. So that's it. Right, that's the game. Let's go to some questions. Let's have a quick look here. Another question just popping in here. Apologies, I'm not as sharp as I should be. Ellis, man the box. Make sure nobody gets a line there. Okay, this is going to be trouble. First question, and I'll come to you, Chris. Marble Halls TV asks, with Inter going out, what are our chances to win this? And why do we have a self-destruct capacity?
I suppose this is as good a time as any to look at the potential opponents, isn't it, really? To anybody who knows John and I follow Inter Milan, to anyone that knows anything about Inter, they will not be surprised at all that they have massively shat the bed. You know that scene in Trainspotting when he comes down with the shitty sheets? Inter basically do that on a weekly basis. Their laundry bill is through the roof. It's not a surprise. Ironically, I would rather Inter have gone through tonight, because Eintracht Frankfurt are a bloody good side. And they're a side that I would definitely want to avoid. We've got a young lad called Jovic, who scored the winner tonight, who's being eyed by some of the best in Europe. He's come on leaps and bounds this year. So I would want to avoid them. So sticking Inter aside, I'm more concerned that Eintracht have gone through that tie. We've also got the potential draw in Chelsea, obviously. You know, for all the fact we beat them in the league and that, I wouldn't particularly want to draw Chelsea. You don't really want to be playing your neighbours at this stage of a tournament. Ideally, I'd like to see them bounced out by somebody. Napoli, strangely, don't scare me too much. They're second in Serie A behind a Juve side that have gone into the distance. Napoli are very decent. They've got some very good players, but they're very beatable. Don't travel particularly well. They did look good against PSG in the Champions League earlier on the season, but I personally think we'd have enough to scare them defensively. I don't think they're brilliant at the back. And Salzburg certainly gave them a scare earlier on tonight. Valencia, mixed bag, seventh in La Liga. Again, some very good players, you know, sort of players that can hurt us. But I mean, I suppose you look at the Man United tie again in the Champions League to see what they can do on their night. But again, I wouldn't be too concerned. Slavia Prague dumping out Sevilla is a massive result for them, complete with comical own goal. And then you've got Benfica and Villarreal. It's got Santi Cazorla derby written all over it, hasn't it? In a way, it would be quite nice to go back to Villarreal.
Bearing in mind their shit, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 17th in La Liga. But that said, I watched them against Rangers earlier on in this tournament. I know it's Rangers and you can't say too much, but that this competition, they've been really good, really, really good. La Liga's form has suffered. I think they're 17th in the league at the moment. But again, they're the sort of side that it's a tight, compact, old-fashioned ground. Wouldn't be one I would pick. You've got to beat somebody decent at some point. You know, at the risk of being too arrogant, you know, we're Arsenal. We shouldn't be fearing anybody. We should be lapping up whoever we get. But if you said to me now you can handpick an opponent, I think I'd probably take Napoli or Valencia at the moment. I think they'd be the two that I would personally like, because I think they're two big sides that we could dump out. And I think we'd have enough to get through them. And that would be nice to get rid of another big team.
I've got to be honest with you, pal. There's nobody in that draw who scares me. Last season, Atletico, they were, you know, they were well-drilled, capable of scoring goals, horrible fucker up front, horrible fucker behind him. You know, they had a bit about them. There's nobody in that draw who I see of that quality. Do you know what I mean? Chelsea and the Sarri will always be, you know, one of those games, but you know, I there's no reason why we can't go on to win this. I've got to be honest with you. CB on Twitter, that's Guna Craig, at Guna Craig 41 asks, Would you consider Maitland-Niles as a right back next season? Not buying a new right, and that means not buying a new right back in the summer.
Maybe not an out and out right back in a back four. I certainly consider him as backup at right wing back. If we're going to stick, well, I say stick. Emery changes formation so many times. He still hasn't settled with one, and I don't think he ever will. I think he's a manager who will sort of adapt his formation to suit the opponents that we're going to play. I'd be willing to risk it, though, to have him as backup right wing back. Been off Lichtsteiner because, well, hasn't really done much. Because I think there's other areas of the pitch that we all need to strengthen. I guess a lot depends on where he finishes and how much money we have in the summer. But if we're strapped for cash, then I'd certainly be willing to sort of let A&M play that backup right back role to Hector.
The one thing I would say is, you know, he's a young lad learning his game. Is he more of a midfielder? Is he going to be a sort of wing back? I don't know, but it's a big gamble, you know. But I think he's got the temperament to do it. I think that's the big thing for him, isn't it? Chris, on to yourself. Unique79 asks, what do you think of the friendly out in Dubai?
Would it be really bad for me to say I don't really care? I don't mean that against the question. I mean that in all sincerity of the team. There's this whole thing, isn't there? Teams going away mid-season, staying at home. We don't play for, what is it, 2.5 weeks? Let the team go. You know, I mean, why not? I presume that it will be something tied to the Emirates airline. I presume there's some sort of sponsorship involved, a bit of exposure. Not that kind of exposure, John, behave. I imagine it's probably a good opportunity to get the name out there. We're probably behind, particularly the Oily had in terms of recognition out that way. So yeah, I don't really see it as a big issue, to be perfectly honest. I think it's meh, and I doubt when it's going to be a high level friendly. I imagine you'll see the first team sort of have 25 to 30 minutes each, rolling subs, that kind of thing. I don't think it'll be a high level friendly, so I'm not that fussed. And if the players get a break, which some of them could do with, I might add, at this stage of the season, go for it. Why not?
Okay, cool. That's enough questions, Ellis Mel. Stop. You need me to move my place. Yes.
Sorry. I could just type randomly when you start reading your next question. Really,
I just realised I didn't answer the second part of the other question about why we have a self-destructive button.
Don't worry about it. You carpentered the shit at the first part.
I can answer it with two words, the Arsenal. There you go.
Well played. Al, another question from Unique79, and he asks, are you twat? I will end
That's a bit
you.
Harsh.
Poor Unique. How can Poor you Unique. Call him
he comes on here and he asks a question. You call him twat. That's outrageous.
Oh, yeah, it's Mel a twat, and you know well why. He's typing that box out of my place. Dear listeners, you won't be hearing from Ellis until next season. Say goodbye. Unique79 asks, do you think we can get third place and get and win the Europa League to get Champions League football next season? Can we do both?
We can do both. I don't think we'll do both. I think at best we'll finish fourth. And if we have a good run, we can also win the Europa League. But I don't think we'll get third, personally.
I think we will, see. I genuinely do now. Now he's playing a more attacking lineup. And there's another part of that question. Do you think the team will take off under Unai Emery in regards to spending, challenging for titles, etc.?
Too early to say. I think there's been some improvements with the squad that mostly isn't his, compared to what we were playing like last season. But he needs another transfer window to get the players in that he wants at the club or work well with his philosophy. So we'll have to wait and see. We'll definitely improve, but challenge for a title is a big step up from where we are currently.
That would take a couple of seasons, wouldn't it? Really would. Chris, just add Chemical X. Ask a question for yourself. And he says, considering our good form and building discipline in defence, are there any good young French centre-backs we can nick in the summer?
That's probably one to delve into in the summer more, because it's sort of more transfer based. But yeah, there's a couple. Malang Sarr is the obvious one at Nice. I would probably say that if you're gonna, the one that really got away is the one who's gone to Barcelona from Toulouse, whose name bloody escapes me now. I can't remember his name. Todibo. He was one you could have probably got. And I think West Ham did really good business in Diop, which we probably missed out in terms of that. But yeah, there's a couple. We are quite active in terms of the French market for two reasons, really. Obviously, one is Unai knows that market quite well, given his ties to France when he was managing there. And the fact that it is, of the leagues that we're going to be shopping in the summer, you'd imagine one of the cheapest. There's a lot of talent in the French league at the moment in all positions. I would argue probably centre back is not necessarily where we should be shopping French wise, because the best ones are very expensive. I think we'll probably have to go maybe Bundesliga for defensive reinforcement. But yep, there's a few, and we are actively looking at a couple of Lorient players in the summer. So might be getting Guendouzi marks 2 and 3. You never know.
Well, the good thing, if we do buy from the French league and Brexit goes tits up, they can grow crops and look after the animals to feed the team.
Although they've got to be careful because their tractors will sink when they come across the channel. So.
Good man. I'm going to take the next one. Neil Vergela asks, what do you think of us playing two strikers in this 3-4-1-2 formation, or playing in Wobi or Mickey instead of a striker? It's been really refreshing the last couple of games. He's playing three at the back, but he is playing a team full of intent and ambition, with Ozil, Ramsey, Lacazette and Aubameyang. It's been a pleasure to see. We saw earlier on in the season against Fulham, Cardiff, us playing three at the back with, well, we were dross, let's be fair. Okay, it was really frustrating. But this all-at-attack mentality and keeping, you know, still solid at the back with the three and allowing Xhaka and Ramsey to play the way they can, It's been like a breath of fresh air. I've really enjoyed watching it. Long may continue. I thought Iwobi and Mkhitaryan looked lively when they came on tonight. They added something to it. So, you know, you can mix and match there, but you're seeing real intent from it. And that's fantastic to see. That really is good to see. Ellis, Jeffrey O'Hara asks, Hector is back to walking with a crutch recently. Are you confident he will make a full recovery to the level he was at before the injury? Now, Ellis is a nurse, so he kind of knows what he's talking about. Crack on, Al.
Oh, thanks for overselling me. I don't know. How am I meant to know that? Just because I'm a nurse? what he's injured will never be the same again, as with all injuries and breaks and sprains and all that jazz. Whether he can get back to his level that he was at, I don't know. I think, can you remember a couple of seasons ago when he was carrying carrying an injury for the majority of the season? Yeah. And he sort of lost that pace. And I don't think he's ever quite been as good as he was. So I'm hoping he can return back to the level that it was before their injury. And I don't see why not. We've seen players come back from worse. We've seen Rambo come back from a leg break and turn into the player he has, so good enough that he can go to Juventus and leave Arsenal like a bastard. But less of that. So yeah, I'm confident he can get back. He is a professional football player at a top club, so he will get the best medical care he can. So I'm confident he will come back fit and ready to go and as strong as ever.
And the really, really good thing now is with Darren Burgess as your performance director, this is a guy with great experience in rehab work. So, you know, you've got a top team in place. You know, we've always had a good team in place. You know, there's a lot of nonsense spoken about the medical professionals at the club over the years, okay? But, you know, Burgess will ensure he gets the correct rehab needed. Dom speaks about this a lot on the podcast. You know, it's all about his rehab work and how they manage that. So, you know, I've got full confidence they'll do a good job in him, to be fair. Chris, Stan the Man 450 Andy Unique 79, it's a pretty similar question. Should we stick with Czech as we progress in Europa League? We play, or do we play with the best keeper? Thinking of PSG being too cute with the backup. What are your thoughts?
He brings up interesting that he brought up the PSG thing, because there was a lot of talk about why Buffon played that game and not Areola. So they made a bit of a tit out of that, didn't they? I think you've got to stick with Czech in terms of. It's a really difficult one, isn't this? Because you get this every year. We've had it before, haven't we, with the cup final keepers and whatnot. I think I'd be inclined to stick with Czech. I think I'd probably be inclined to stick with him all the way through, to be honest, because I think even if we and hopefully we get to a final, his experience would be really important. That's nothing against Leno, but I'm a little bit uncomfortable with the idea that you pick one goalkeeper, you play him all the way, and then all of a sudden in the fight, you get to the final and you drop him. I think that's a little bit harsh. So personally, I'd rather we just played our first choice goalkeeper in every tournament, full stop, other than maybe the Carabao Cup or whatever. But yeah, I personally would probably stick with Czech, even if we got to the final all the way through. And it would be a perfect send-off as well, wouldn't it, if we were to pick up the trophy after he saves all five penalties from the opposition in the final. Or not.
The one thing I would say to that is, if you're coming up against a team who have real gas up front and who like to press the keeper, I'd probably go with Leno.
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay, but, you know, I mean, how many of those teams are out there? I don't really know. But, you know, that's the one thing, his distribution and his ability to play the ball. You know, that's where the real gap is.
And Czech's, I think Czech's a winner as well, don't forget that. You know, that experience comes in. You know, he's won big Champions League games, and, you know, he's literally won finals for teams. So, you know, I don't think there's a lot between them. And I think somebody was saying, I can't remember, it was on a podcast I was listening to the other day. If you look at his, I'm not a big fan of stats, as you know, but if you look at his numbers, he's up there with the very best in terms of the games he's played over the last 18 months. His figures are up there with the very best around. So sometimes, you know, the fact he isn't pretty with his feet maybe covers over the fact he's very good in other areas. So it's much of a muchness. We're quite lucky to have two pretty good goalkeepers at the moment.
I wouldn't disagree with that whatsoever. I think Czech's been harshly treated over the last couple of seasons. You know, people have expected way too much of him, and he's been a solid citizen for us, and, you know, long may continue. It would be really nice to send him off for the trophy. It really would. I think he's been, you know, he's come to us from a local rival, and he's been great. I no issues there. Neil Vigela asks, I'll answer this one. What would be the bigger achievement for Unai? Is it finishing third or winning the Europa League this season? I think either would be massive. I've got to be honest with you. You win either, he's a massive success in his first season. And I've got to be honest with you, 6 or 7 weeks ago, I didn't think this could happen. I thought he'd lost it. But, you know, he's corrected the things that were wrong, and he's gone forward. All credit to him. You've got to give the guy credit for that. You know, third in the league, that talks about your consistency over the season, and that would be magic. But a trophy's a trophy. Either or. I really do think we can do both. I really do. Ellis has just put on in the box. One question. Rambo, what a work rate tonight from a legend in my books. Should we get a statue up in the grounds for him?
No.
That's that one done.
There you go. Did I carp on that one?
We had a donation question. Do you want to do that one, Jace? From Jackasaurus?
Yeah, crack on.
Yeah, Jackasaurus donated €5.
Top man, Jackasaurus, thank you.
Which I believe with Brexit is now the equivalent of £465 million. So that's amazing. It's going to pay for Danny's colonic irrigation. He said, here's a fun question. Oh, sorry about that, viewers. I do apologise. You must sign four players. Each player is from the Republic of Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England. Who do you sign? Well, Jace can get the Welsh one. I imagine he's going to go for a lad at Swansea somehow.
I tell you who I'd go for.
Are you not? Please don't say the chimp at Madrid. Please.
No, I'd love to have him at the Arsenal, but I would take Ethan Ampadu.
He needs a haircut though. Can't have. There's too much hair at Arsenal at the moment.
I think he's fabulous.
I'd have Brooks if it was Welsh. I'd have Brooks.
To be honest, there's like half a dozen of them at the moment. Mm. You take.
You know? Or we could sign Cookie Coleman and get him to fix our washing machines. You remember that story, don't you? When he was in Sociedad.
There's a lot of stories about Cookie Coleman I can tell you.
He went out on the piss, didn't he? And he said his washing machine had broke, and that's the reason he was late for training. Truth is, he was hungover to shit. Legend.
There's a story about him in his Jag and a couple of air hostesses.
Just let that fester for a minute. Republic of Ireland. Declan Rice is the only player I know. Actually, no, I'll tell you who I'd have. Matt Doherty from Wolves. He's a player. I'd have him at right wing back. England, I wouldn't have any because we all know England is shit, don't we, Ellis?
Shut up, you stupid.
Line that one up.
And surrender monkey.
Jordan Pickford.
Oh, God. As a bin man to replace Ospina.
Raheem Sterling. Get rid of Wayne for Raheem Sterling. There you go. You know I'm right.
Who do you have from Scotland? Is there any good Scottish players?
I can only think of the Liverpool lads that I can Robertson. Name in the Scottish Robertson. Team.
Tierney's good at Celtic, isn't he? The lad Tierney, the left back. He'd do a job for us.
Ali McCoist.
Colin Hendry. So, yeah, I think what we've deducted from that conversation is that there aren't many good Scottish players. Sorry. Sorry to all you Scottish fans. But, yeah. So, there you go. Good question. Thank you, sir.
Yeah,
we got another.
Go on.
I don't know if we got any. I think we got a couple more, haven't we?
Yeah, we got a couple more. Yeah, Unique 79 that says, Jace, Chris and Ellis, do you think things are slowly coming together with our team, or should we all calm down and not go overboard? El, you answer that first.
Right, okay. Things, I think, are slowly coming together. I think before the sort of nice crest of the wave we've been riding since the United win, obviously previous to that we lost 3-1 to Ren and the away leg, first leg. I think it's hard to say if we've improved massively other than you just look at our position in the league table compared to where we were last season, and our away record was atrocious last season and it's only a little bit better this season. So I think things are slowly coming together. I think there's a lot more to come from this team. Well, I'd hope to think so. And if there isn't, then obviously we'll probably have to start thinking of other options manager-wise. But I think they are starting to slowly come together. I don't think we should get too overboard. I think there's a long way to go. We've got 8 games. There's a lot of potential banana skins in those the eight coming games in the Premier League. But also for the other teams as well. That's the beauty of the Premier League. There's so many clubs in there that are fighting for relegation that will give any of the top 6 to go for a run for their money when they're just trying to survive and stay up. So I don't think we get too carried away, but I think things are slowly starting to piece together and get a bit better.
Read the question in the box in Hangouts a minute. Chris, your opinion?
I couldn't add a lot to what Ellis said, to be honest. I think we are roughly where I thought we'd be, to be fair. And I think we said it all the way back to the preview pod at the start of the season. Everyone said, where are we going to finish? And I went third. And I'm not going to change that.
You and I both.
Mm. And wouldn't it be absolutely hilarious if they moved into the toilet bowl and finished fifth? Wouldn't that be hilarious? And you
especially
know what?
With their slogan, the only place to watch Champions League football. And they don't even get to play Champions League football in the stadium.
And part of me, the really sadistic side, almost wants them to get an easy draw tomorrow just so their absolute idiot fans think that they can get further. And then if they could lose in the last minute of stoppage time in the semi-final. I mean, although arguably it'd be more funny if they lost in a final, but then I don't really want them anywhere near a final because that's a bit too. But yeah, I don't know. I think when you look back at the end of the season, unless we absolutely crap the bed and finish fifth or sixth, I think if we make that top four and either get to the final or, you never know, win it, I think we'll look back at the season and go, do you know what? That's a bloody good job he's done. And considering what he's come into, you know, even silly things like the change of the Mislin Sat stuff and the Stan stuff, the Usmanov change around, there's lots gone on at this club this season that people have kind of forgotten. And the fact we signed, you know, basically nobody in January. I think we're ahead of where we could easily have been. We could easily have been 10th by now. So fair play.
We wouldn't have been 10th. Come on. You look at our team tonight. Our team tonight, all those players, the starting 11 were all inherited. And other than Torreira, everybody was inherited from Arsene. That is still a bloody good squad.
Yeah, okay? I guess all I mean from that is we could have been Moyes, couldn't we? We could have been, if we'd have made the wrong appointment, you know, I love him to bits, but if we'd have brought in Mikel Arteta, I think we would have been a lot further down than we have by bringing in a decent level, high level manager. You know, is Unai Emery top echelon of managers in Europe? I would say at this point, probably not. Can he be? Why not? People are lauding Klopp, but he hasn't won nothing yet, has he?
Yeah, but this thing is, okay, if you look at Unai, bags of experience. We said this beginning of the season when we did the managerial show. Bags of experience, knows how to handle pressure. You know, no doubt, you know, we know he's made mistakes this season, but it looks like he's learned from them. For me, I look at, you know, the attacking nature, the ambition of the last couple of selections, team selections, and that fills me with confidence. Because it's not this sort of negative, hold what we've got, start slowly, we've gone for it. And I think, you know, with the players, if you've got Lacazette and Aubameyang up front, if you've got Mesut Ozil, if you've got Aaron Ramsey, if you've got Xhaka who can spray the ball, if you've got wing-backs like Hector or AMN and Kolasinac, you know, all these guys, they want to go forward. They're better going forward than they are going backwards. So that's the bit that fills me with confidence.
And he's good with young players. That's been overlooked a lot as well. He's been very, very good at getting young players into the side, giving them commitment. Something I noticed actually in the game today, Aubameyang, when he missed that chance for his hat-trick, first thing Emery did straight to the touchline, shouted over at him, you know, keep going, over, keep going. It's and don't get it wrong, this isn't but Arsene didn't do that. It's not one of those. Yeah. But it's what Unai does well. I like his changes. I like his ability to manage the game. I like the fact that we played five different formations this season. And something else that people do forget, he's a coach in his, I think he's late 40s. You know, he's not an old coach. This is a guy who's arguably got his best years ahead of him. And he's won, you know, what, back-to-back Europa Leagues. He's won titles in Spain, titles in France. When I say titles, I mean trophies. You know, he's got success behind him. And as we've said on previous pods, Chase, you know, we are, whether you like it or not, we're just a top four club at best at the moment. We're not a title challenger. We're not Europe's elite. Therefore, we can't command Europe's elite players or managers at this stage. So if we can get the very best of the next group, then I'm all for it. He deserves a lot more credit than he gets, I think, particularly when you look at the proverbial loving that a certain Argentine fraud gets down the road from the British media every week. Who's won nothing again, I might add.
I do just enjoy that.
Had to get that in there. It's become the new, what's the thing I used to mention all the time? It's become the new Guardiola for me. Oh. I've let that one go now. I've accepted that he's just, you know, average. I've accepted that now.
So you haven't let it go?
No. Oh, dirty, bold Spanish fraud.
Oh, yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Right, let's get on with this now. We need to wrap this up. Michael Hahnemann, I think we've answered the top four and Europa League question, mate. Thank you for the question. Chris, I'm going to have to come back to you on this one because, sorry, Elle, this is a Chris question. I do apologise. How much would Jonathan Tay cost in the summer? He could be our Virgil van Dijk. Love the podcast, lads. No work in the morning. I'm getting drunk. That's from Jamie Fitzgerald.
Thank you,
Jamie. He also donated the €5 as well.
Oh, thank you.
Jamie's donated a couple of times tonight. He's under Jamie Fitzgrade, which is his DJ name, but his proper name is Jamie Fitzgerald.
He's on the beers tonight. He's going to wake up tomorrow and go 5, 10, 15, 12. What did I spend that? Oh, hang on a minute. I gave it to those prats on ABD.
That's just Jason sat there going, make it break.
But yes, thank you. That'll pay for my holiday, Jamie. We appreciate that. No, all jokes aside, thank you, Jamie. Jonathan Tarr, is he as good as Van Dijk potentially? No, I don't think so. I think he's another one of these centre-backs who would be liked by Arsenal fans. He's big, he's strong, he's powerful. He's a bit like your Socrates mould. A little bit raw for me. I think he'd be a gamble. If you got him at the right price, he's at Leverkusen at the moment, so you probably would pull him for probably 35, 40. Might be worth a stab, but I think there's better options. Completely different player to Van Dijk, though. The next Van Dijk is probably going to be De Ligt, who's the lad at Ajax. But similar, obviously Dutch, but similar style. So no, he's a different type of player. He's a lot more physical. Wouldn't be against it, but I'm not sure that he's the best option. So one to watch, maybe.
De Ligt.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. It's another question.
Oh, I know. I don't know who any of these people are. So I'm sat there going, well, you better not ask me that.
Sorry.
I have a fucking clue who that person is. Can't even say his name.
In all fairness, I'm just going to quote Carl. Fuck Ellis. Sorry. Chris, AFC QLD asks, Hubalong Mendes apparently coming with Claude Maurice in trade for COS. What do you think?
Well, what do I think? I think this gentleman might possibly have been chatting to a few people I might have chatted to recently. I'll say no more. I'm not going to say too much on this because I best not. But all I will say is they are two players we're very interested in. Claude Maurice is a kind of more of an attacking box-to-box style midfielder who can play wide, but he's better in the central area. So if they were looking to replace replace the Welsh legend with a younger version who they can mould, maybe he's an option. In terms of Hubalong Mendes, he's actually probably one that excites me more because he's a fullback and very much in the style of Rafael Guerrero, who I used to love at Lorient as well, went to Dortmund. Very similar style fullback, gets forward, but can defend and he's robust. He probably needs to put on a few pounds and he would definitely need to be sort of bled in gently. But he's one I think would be very, very worth signing. But I'm not going to sit here and say that they're coming. In terms of a trade, I don't think that's likely. I think based upon what we've seen from COS since he's come back, I think he'll probably stick around one more year. And I hope he does, because we've got enough to do without shipping off one of our best defenders already. So I'd like to see him stay.
Gone this season. I really did. I you know, new hair, new legs. Another season. I've got to be honest. He's looking good. He's playing well. Mm. You've got to give him credit.
Yeah.
Why did you become homosexual? New hair. He's looking good.
Massive dong.
Tom from Norway says, is Chris secretly running the club?
Tom, can I answer that one? Is it my turn?
No. I'm answering the
club. Damn it!
Thomas, Chris is barely running the Barbican Pirates.
I knew that was coming.
hey, come on.
I'm praying for rain this weekend. I can barely get an 11 this weekend. It's a nightmare. I've got a cup semi-final next week, though, so shush.
Ooh, am I pop down?
Yeah.
If you make a final, I will pop down again. Okay?
And if I was running the club, we'd never get any shit done. You know that.
Correct. I should be running the club. It'd all happen.
Oh, God. To be armed with bricks, it would all go off.
I tell you one thing, nobody would turn their back on a shot. Ever.
No, I know.
Ever.
Fans or players.
That's it for tonight, guys. Arsenio Wonga, we're not asking that, mate, but he does deserve one. That's it for tonight. First of all, my thanks to everyone in the chat box. You've been superb. It's been a really fun chat box. It's nice to, after a disappointing week, away leg at Rennes, it's nice to put them to the sword and their divey, cheeky bastard players. All credit their fans. They were superb. But the chat box, you've been brilliant. There's been one dickhead in there, but I'm not going to mention his name because he's a prick.
It's a bit harsh.
Big thank you.
Yeah, poor Danny.
A big thank you to Michael Hahnemann, Unique 79, Ivana Kofor, Sean Mush, Daryl Kane, Akib alias, Akib Zatile, Jackosaurus, the Muslim RC Racer, Thomas McClement, Benoit Messier, Daniel Mage, Jamie Fitzgerald. Thank you ever so much. You were winding me right up at the beginning of this podcast. I can't believe how many donations are coming through. That is absolutely fabulous of you, and we really appreciate your support. As always, superb. To those of you listening on other platforms, huge thank you. You know, we're just three dickheads talking bollocks without you guys listening, so we really do appreciate the support week in, week out. It's fabulous to see, so thank you ever so much. I got 179 likes, people. There's still 210 of you watching. Come on, 200, please. Get it on. Let's do it. Don't miss about. A huge thanks to the one and only Ellis Mel.
Thank you for having me and letting me answer like two questions, but cheers.
I give the public what they want.
Sorry that I'm not a hipster and I don't understand who these people are.
Look, if there's a question aimed at Freddie Hussein, you'd have had it.
Don't stop me now.
People who listen to other medias, I'm sticking my finger up at Jason right now.
He is. Formerly Noza says, I tappy-tappy first tonight. Formerly Noza, you're a rock star. Thank you so much. I haven't spoken to him, I haven't potted with him in a while, so really nice to pod with Chris. Chris, thank you so much, mate. It's been brilliant having you back on.
Ah, pleasure, Jace. Carpenter out.
And that's it for tonight, guys. Fantastic result. No Brexit for the Arsenal this weekend. So this week. So that's awesome. It's a couple of weeks till the next game. So we haven't done the lineups for the next radio show, next live show. So Daniel announced it on the podcast whenever he does the next, well, next week or next week's podcast or whatever. I've no idea who he's getting on next week because he's mysterious like that.
Chase, before we go, quick spoiler alert. Not everyone knows about this. I'm recording a special during the international break. So if anyone's a fan of the popular video game by Electronic Arts called FIFA, stay tuned because I'm doing a special with somebody. So
very good at FIFA,
though. I'm terrible at it, but we've got a cool guest. So yeah, Danny and I are going to get together and do a little pod. So there you go. Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, he's nice. Got a key. He's really good at FIFA.
It's not a key, but I love him. Sorry.
Stefan Selby.
No. And it's not Ellis either. Fuck Ellis. Wrap this shit up.
Yeah. podcast next week with Danny and who knows. We're doing myself and Danny on Monday are doing a crossover pod with same old Arsenal with Lee and Craig. So we'll be on their platform. So I'm looking forward to that. Two good guys. Love the Arsenal. You can't knock it, can you? That's all Stephanie says. Thank you very much. Take care. Good night. I am now going to switch this shit off.